Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Economic anxiety.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. There's a risk that fear of the unknown could cause consumers to cut back on spending, which is the main source of fuel behind the nation's economy. A new reading on consumer confidence shows it's pretty much stuck in a rut. The RBC Cash Index suggests Americans are starting to question just how high gasoline prices will go and worry about how the housing slump might play out. Wall Street hates that kind of uncertainty, which is what sent the Dow sliding 147 points yesterday, more than 1%. The Nasdaq sank 1.2%. The S&P 500 was off almost 1.5%. Reuters is reporting today that Europe might be getting its own brand of debit card. It says a number of European banks are in secret talks with the goal of challenging the market-leading MasterCard and Visa debit cards, which raises some questions that we put to Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Why now? And is this just a business move, or will it be good for consumers?
Yes, consumers should benefit because there will be more choice. I mean, why is this happening now? Because the European Union's just adopted new rules setting up a single euro payments area so that consumers within the eurozone can send euros across border into another euro country without any charges. And there are moves afoot to set up a single EU-wide debit system. So with all these changes afoot, these European banks are a concern that because companies like MasterCard and Visa have the momentum, that they will dominate and monopolize this business.
And this isn't just a European issue, right? I mean, I sense that there is this is the wave of the future here. The banks are trying to get in on all of the plastic that we're using in these other alternative forms of payment.
That's exactly right. And this really is opening up globally with the increasing use of cell phones, for example. But the banks want to make sure that what profits are to be had from these transactions go to them rather than the middlemen like MasterCard and Visa.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Bob.
Tomorrow's the 15th annual canned food drive conducted by the country's mail carriers. They're asking that you leave canned food in your mailbox, and they'll take it to local food banks. The event's chief corporate sponsor is Campbell's Soup, which by no coincidence is one of the largest makers of canned foods in the world. As Pat Loeb reports, it's a classic example of cause marketing.
Cause marketing is when a company raises money for a cause through means that increase its own sales. American companies spent an estimated $1.3 billion on cause marketing last year, 20% more than the year before. But marketing strategists like Jim Nail warn that companies have to be careful.
Consumers are now so cynical. They're very sensitive to things that do look opportunistic.
Nail thinks Campbell's is treading on thin ice. The company promotes the food drive through public service announcements and its own advertisements that urge consumers to buy Campbell's products, then leave them for a mail carrier. Campbell's John Faulkner says the company is proud of its involvement.
I guess if you're a cynic and you want to say it's exploitative, perhaps you can make that case, but we have to do what we think is right.
The Mail Carriers Union and the food banks that benefit value Campbell's support. The one-day event generates 70% of all the food donated nationally through food drives. I'm Pat Loeb for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Whatever troubles life might deal you today, consider what it's like just trying to make it from one day to the next in the African nation of Somalia. Amid the ongoing bloodshed between various warring factions, kidnappings and killings have made humanitarian efforts next to impossible. Just yesterday, two aid workers, one from Britain, the other from Kenya, were kidnapped at gunpoint and remain missing. The long violence has sent more than 30,000 people fleeing to refugee camps in Kenya, and suddenly the surge in population there is creating fierce competition for already scarce resources. resources, from firewood to medical care. As Gretchen Wilson reports from the refugee camps, the new arrivals find themselves way at the back of the line.
The busiest new borough of the Hagadera refugee camp is an open field of sand. Dwellings here look like birds' nests made out of donated blankets and branches the width of my thumb. Hassan Ibrahim Yusuf brought his wife and baby daughter here in October.
We have a lot of challenges as newcomers. For example, this shelter is where we sleep at night when it's cold, and it's our only protection during the day when it gets very hot and windy.
In Somalia, Yusuf worked as a farmer, but he says the economy of the camps is run by refugees who came here in the early 1990s. Kenya doesn't let refugees leave the camps to work, so over the last 15 years, many have learned to barter inside the camps for goods like soap and tea. Newcomers without connections, like Yusuf, often lose out. And survival in the Hagadera camp is about scrambling for the most basic of resources, whether it's a cooking pot or school supplies. 18-year-old Marian Abdul Hussein arrived here 4 months ago. Hussein says newcomers here battle even to get clean water.
As we are new refugees, we don't know anybody from this country. And these people, they are not going to help us to give us water. When we said, please help us, we don't have water, they refuse.
At one of these water taps, 22-year-old Habiba Abdi Shaiya fills a plastic jug. Unlike Hussein, she's grown up, married, and had children here.
Every day, it's not like this, with a lot of water. Sometimes there are tensions between us and the newcomers, because they come and the water pressure is too low. So to share is a problem.
Aid groups say they're doing their best to minimize tensions, as every population competes for the same meager resources. Somali refugees stopped pouring into the camps when Kenya closed its border in January. But when it opens again, there'll likely be another 50,000 seeking asylum. From the Hagadera refugee camp in Dadaab, Kenya, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
A little later this morning, we'll have pictures of the scene in Somalia at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Take heart. It's Friday.
American Public Media.